This is Rabble Radio, recorded on Friday, April 17th, 2026. I'm your host, Brianne Doyle. Rabble.ca shares the news of the day through a progressive lens. If you're curious about the latest news in Canadian politics, labor, the environment, and beyond, you've come to the right place. This is news for the rest of us. Thanks for tuning in. Effective April 20th, Rob Halpin will assume the role of Executive Director of ACTRA Toronto. ACTRA, the Alliance of Canadian Cinema, Television, and Radio Artists, is the national union of professional performers working in recorded media in Canada. This week on the show, Halpin joins Rabble editor Nick Seabrook to discuss his goals for the union, the exploitative nature of AI, and why it's so important to support union performers. Here are Rob Halpin and Nick Seabrook in conversation. Take a listen.
I'm here with ACTRA Toronto Executive Director Rob Halpin. Rob, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So you're very fresh into this role as Executive Director of ACTRA Toronto. To start off, could you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Absolutely. Well, Rob Halpin, I'm the new executive director at ACTRA Toronto. I've spent my career working in the labor movement and advocating for workers' rights, for fair and just compensation and strong protections on the job. Most recently, I served at the Ontario Federation of Labor. I've held positions as Director of Research, Director of Government Relations, and Executive Director, and most recently, General Secretary. And there, I worked alongside public and private sector unions across the province and our community partners to advance public policy and support working people at the bargaining table, on picket lines, or in their communities. And that experience really shaped my understanding of how collective action can improve people's lives. And it's what I bring to this role at ACTRA Toronto.
Now, before we talk a little bit more about your role as Executive Director at ACTRA Toronto, tell me a little bit about that long experience that you have in the labor movement. What drew you to wanting to work in labor?
Well, it's all about the pursuit of justice. Pursuit of justice for working people. I grew up in a trade union family. My father worked in the auto industry for the Canadian Auto Workers, the UAW before them. You know, it's been ingrained in me, the importance of unions in making sure that working people have a fair shake in our country and across the globe. You know, I did my master's degree in labor policies and globalization studies at the Berlin School of Economics. And there, I got a real global perspective on how important it is for working people to come together to fight for their rights.
Absolutely. And it's something that we're very passionate about sharing here at Rabble as well. Now, in terms of your new role as Executive Director at ACTRA Toronto, what drew you to want to take on this position?
Well, this role brings together everything that I care about. Workers' rights, the creative cultural industry in Canada, and ensuring that people are respected and paid fairly and timely for their work. Performers are essential to Canada's cultural identity, but too often they face instability and exploitation. You know, our members are artists, they're creators, they're performers, but they are also workers. And essentially, many are gig workers. And I see this as an opportunity to help strengthen protections and build a more sustainable industry for our incredible members to thrive within. ACTRA Toronto members have already built an incredibly strong union. I want to take them to the next level.
Now, ACTRA, for maybe some of our listeners who aren't aware of the acronym, what does ACTRA do and who do you specifically represent?
Sure. Well, ACTRA stands for the Alliance of Canadian Cinema, Television, and Radio Artists. And in national union, which has represented over 30,000 professional performers working in film, television, radio, digital media across Canada, ACTRA Toronto is the largest branch representing performers in one of the busiest production centers in North America. So at our core, We negotiate contracts, we enforce standards, and advocate to ensure performers are treated fairly and can build sustainable careers. But we're also a major player in Canada's creative and cultural industry and sector. And we're here to wield that power. Actually, Toronto has 18,000 members, and they're very active, and we're going to make sure that they get even more active and engaged.
And as executive director, what are some of your goals in that position for these 18,000 members and for the organization as a whole?
Sure. Well, my focus will be on strengthening protections for performers, right? Particularly in areas like timely payment for their work, job security, protecting our jurisdictions and adapting to new technologies. I also want to ensure that ACTRA Toronto continues to be a strong, responsive organization that supports members at every stage of their careers, while advocating for a thriving Canadian screen industry. And I think we can do all of that. We are a member-led organization, and it's our members who really give us our power.
Now, in terms of challenges, what are some of the challenges facing ACTRA? You talked about changes with technology, job security. Can you explore that a little bit more about what specific challenges ACTRA is currently facing?
Sure. Well, I mean, there are a few major challenges in front of us right now. The rise of AI is raising serious questions about consent, compensation, and control and ownership of performers' work. At the same time, you know, we're dealing with ongoing pressures on production levels and ensuring that Canadian performers aren't being undercut. And of course, enforcing fair standards like timely payment remains a constant priority. You know, AI, on AI specifically, the horse may have left the barn, but we can still put a saddle on it before it jumps the paddock gate. And really, I think the survival of this billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar industry is at stake. There are a lot of great union jobs that are tied into the cultural industry in Canada, and we want to make sure that they all can thrive and survive.
What are some of the impacts that you've seen from AI in recent years on the industry?
Well, my study of it, and trust me, our members have been thinking about this for quite some time, and it's not just immune to our industry as well. I mean, workers across the sectors, any sector that they're working in, are looking at, you know, is this going to replace my labor? You know, one of the concerns that we have, of course, is the use of our image, our voice, and our trade, what we bring to the cultural sector, how we're going to be properly compensated for that. You know, it's pervasive. There's no doubt about it. But I also think there's a tipping point coming where Canadians who are going to sit down and want to be entertained are going to want to watch humans, talented actors from ACTRA, for example, provide that entertainment. I don't think they're going to want to see robots generating content and hold that in the same regard as they do the great work that, you know, human actors bring to the fold.
In your earlier answer, you mentioned three words that all start with a C: consent, compensation, and control. Now, can you tell me a little bit about, in terms of AI, how do you achieve those three goals?
Well, listen, we've got a few things we can do there. One, I think the governments at every level of government need to understand how pervasive this technology can be and how disruptive it may be to our economies, but particularly to the livelihoods of taxpayers, right? Of the people who call this country home. You know, as far as consent's concerned, it's very simple. We are trying to negotiate language in our collective agreements to provide those protections. But we also need government to recognize, as I said, how critical it is to put those guardrails around this pervasive technology. I mean, they need to step up and show that they are, in fact, protecting the workers of this country by giving us some protection around how AI may be used or reducing its exploitative nature, particularly in the cultural arts sector.
All right, absolutely. And just shifting to another topic that we've covered on Rabble in recent years is the issue with the Institute of Canadian Agencies and an ACTRA boycott on brands represented by the Institute of Canadian Agencies. Can you just tell me a little bit about that dispute, what the status is of it, and what our listeners should know about it?
Yeah, absolutely. That lockout of ACTRA members by some agencies that are under the ICA is downright shameful. It's been 4 years plus that this has been dragging on. In my view, the longest labor lockout in Canadian history, at least to my knowledge. Any brands that purport to support Canada and our economy should be mindful of the risks that they put their brands in by locking out Canadian performers represented by ACTRA, particularly given the geopolitical realities that we're living in Canada at the moment. I'm talking about, down south and the threat of a 51st state. It's another reason that I was brought into this role is to bring a fresh set of eyes on a longstanding matter, some new tactics, and the connections that I've built right across Ontario. 54 unions and 1 million workers, and across Canada, representing more than 3 million workers. And we will activate the labor movement to end this lockout. So I suggest those agencies that are still locking out our members come back to the table willingly, sit down and negotiate with us. We, like them, want to see a thriving sector in Canada, and we're prepared to back it up with action.
And just for our listeners who might not be aware of the dispute or the history behind it, can you tell us a little bit about the, because it has been going on for several years now, the dispute with ICA. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the origins of this dispute and really what's at issue here?
Yeah, well, what's at issue is a lot of things. I mean, it's the economy of doing business in Canada, right? Many actors are obviously work for brands. Brands control how they advertise, and they hire advertising agencies to create and develop those ad spots. So within the ICA, there are some agencies that have refused to become signatories to the long-standing collective agreement that is the National Commercial Agreement. And as a result of that, they've decided that they won't be using, and we've decided we're not going to be supporting those agencies that refuse to sign the agreement. So brands are having to make a choice now. If they want to access the top talent in Canada, represented by ACTRA members across the country, ACTRA Toronto members in Ontario, then they're going to come to the table, sign the agreement, and sit down and negotiate fair compensation for the members that make and bring their brands to life.
And that national agreement, why is it so important? What does it provide for your members? What does it guarantee?
Well, listen, it brings stability not only to our members, but also to the sector itself. Brands themselves are not immune to risk, right? They're rather risk averse. They don't like to have the future unknown for them. So one thing that they do when they come into a signatory to the NCA, what they're doing is they are signing up to a stable supply of labor and top talent in the country. They're also signing on to the protections that our members and our union have been able to negotiate, safe sets, for example. They're getting access to some of the most diverse and fabulous talent in the country and truthfully around the world. So, any brand that values stability, that wants to know that their brand is going to be held in the highest regard and showcased in that manner, they're going to want to be part of that agreement so that they can get access to the top talent, the safety on their sets. And of course, building our country and building the cultural industry all in the same time.
Now, a couple of years ago, ACTRA announced a boycott of ICA-represented brands who were not party to the NCA. Is that boycott still ongoing?
Well, listen, there's always boycotts are an extremely powerful tool, a lever for workers to pull. Just think back to what labor unions were able to do when they came together to end the input of South African products during the apartheid era back in the late 80s. Any brand, as I say, that purports to support Canada and our economy should be mindful of the risks that they're putting their brands in. So yeah, it's important that this boycott And I'll tell you, for the most part, I've come in to look at how we can strengthen this, how we can focus it. But again, listen, we don't want to have to go down this road. The real option is for folks at the agencies represented under the ICA that have yet to sign the agreement to come on board, sit down and negotiate a fair collective agreement as they have for decades, and put good Canadian actors to work selling their product.
And in terms of people listening about this issue and also about the issue of AI and its growing impact on the entertainment industry, people who are listening, what's some news that they can use? How can they get involved and support ACRA members?
Wow, great question. Well, listen, we're on the front lines and we bargain with major multinational corporations like Amazon, like Netflix. Cultural workers are in a real important time in Canada. And, you want to talk about nation building projects, as our federal leaders and provincial leaders are talking about. Our cultural sector can and does unite our nation just as much as the railway did, for example, during Confederation. So my message is support union talent. You have a lot of trade unionists, of course, that listen to this podcast, read Rabble. I'm one of them. I encourage trade unionists to ensure that if their unions are engaging in advertising, that they're hiring union performers for those spots. If you work for an employer and you're unionized, your union should ask that employer, which agencies are doing our ad work? And if they're a signatory to the NCA, you should be asking them that. If they're not, then I want them to connect with ACTRA Toronto. And together, we will devise a strategy to build that working class solidarity. You know, more broadly, supporting Canadian content and the people who create it helps sustain the industry as a whole. And I encourage everyone to get active, engage with Canadian media, engage with our members, and support ACTRA members as they build our cultural identity.
And, you know, just a quick question about the sustainability of the industry. You know, you mentioned challenges from the U.S., obviously pressures from AI. Overall, you know, historically, the entertainment industry has been seen as one that's kind of recession-proof. How are you feeling about the current state of the industry as a whole? Is it healthy, or is it starting to feel some of that economic pressures that we're all feeling, you know, rising gas prices and things like that?
Sure, sure. No, listen, you're right to say that. I mean, as all of us feel the pressures of global wars, of, attacks on our sovereignty, at rising costs, I understand that there's only so many dollars to go around. But one thing I want to really circle back to is, how important that is in building this nation, right? In building the cultural identity of who we are as Canadians. Again, our members are the top talent in the country, and they're facing those similar pressures, right? So let's remember one thing. You know, when we move together, when we work together, nothing is outside of our bounds. You know, nothing is insurmountable. So I would encourage folks to recognize, you know, listen, this is an industry that is of massive importance to not only Ontario, to the city of Toronto, to Canada as a whole. It is a one that we need to nurture, and it's going to take some concerted effort from governments, from unions, and from corporate entities to recognize the role that they all have to play in advancing the industry and our culture, our country.
Now, obviously, you're still very fresh in the role, but in terms of what's coming up for ACTRA Toronto, are there any upcoming events that you'd like our listeners to know about? Any upcoming negotiations at the bargaining table that you'd like to update our listeners on?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, I'm super excited to attend the ACTRA Awards in Toronto on May the 11th in 2026. This is a banner night for ACTRA performers. We will come together to honor the fabulous talent of our members, to celebrate their contributions towards Canadian culture and identity, our diversity, and to remember those that we've lost in the past year, like Catherine O'Hara, Graham Greene, all those we've lost since we last gathered. As far as projects for the union are concerned, we are a proudly member-led union. So we're continuing to engage members and the public on the issues that matter most, from industry advocacy to protecting performers' rights in the face of new technologies like AI. And I'd encourage people to follow ACTRA Toronto's channels to stay up to date and get involved in supporting Canadian performers. to watch more Canadian television and movies, celebrate the richness and stories that our members bring to life and shed light on every day.
Now, just a quick question about those stories that your members do such a great job and hard work at bringing to life. I noted going into this interview that we're recording this on April 15th, which happens to be National Film Day in Canada. Hate to put you on the spot, but do you have a particular film, Canadian film, or a Canadian actor, or a Canadian TV show that you wanted to highlight as maybe a bit of your favorite piece of Canadian content?
Indeed. Happy National Canadian Film Day. So many great Canadian films on screens across our country and around the globe at the moment. I absolutely loved Blackberry, which features a star-studded Canadian cast. And it's a look at the rise and fall of Kitchener-Waterloo-based tech powerhouse Research in Motion. If you ever owned a Blackberry, and I owned quite a few, it's a must-see. I grew up in the area of great Canadian comedians on my TV screens. I'm a massive fan of SCTV, and still am today. And the incredible talent that emerged from Second City, absolute legends and icons in Canadian and global comedy. So yeah, I love comedies. Another movie still in theaters, Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie. It's a hilarious comedic romp featuring great actor Toronto talent and shot almost entirely in downtown Toronto. Viewers are sure to recognize our Toronto landmarks that are prominently featured. Another great Canadian film at the moment, Youngblood. If hockey is your thing, you won't want to miss this reboot of the original from the 1980s. But now featuring a Canadian lead in Ashton James, actor Toronto member. Again, shot, filmed, and produced in Canada. Of course, sticking with the hockey theme, how can we forget Heated Rivalry, which has not only taken Canadian screens by storm, but is also a massive global hit. On a side note, Nadine Baba, who your listeners will know from Heated Rivalry, Letterkenny, Law & Order Toronto, Criminal Intent, will be hosting the May 11 Actor Awards. We can't wait to welcome Nadine, a proud Actor Toronto member, to our gala night for what will be an incredible evening. Of course, it's not all about the actors that get the close-ups. There is plenty of must-sees if you want to scan the background for some hardworking Actor Toronto members working as background performers. Television shows like The Boys, Vought Rising, Doc, Brilliant Minds, Einstein, Memory of a Killer, all feature Actor Toronto talent in the background. Actor Toronto members bring movies and television to life, whether it's our principal actors, background actors, and the incredible stunt performers. It's our talent at Actor Toronto that makes television and movie magic happen. I can't wait to see the exciting work all of our members will bring to a screen near you in the future.
That was the executive director of ACTRA Toronto, Rob Halpin, and Rabble editor Nick Seabrook in conversation. Thank you so much for that, Rob and Nick. And now, this is our In Case You Missed It segment, where we review the top stories from this week on Rabble.ca. To do that, let's hand things back over to Rabble editor Nick Seabrook. Back to you, Nick.
Thanks, Brianne. Starting with national news, the brand new leader of the NDP, Avi Lewis, held his first press conference on Parliament Hill this week. In this first press conference, Lewis took aim at so-called algorithmic pricing. Algorithmic pricing is a practice used by corporations to use a person's digital data, like their online search history, to set prices, with the general goal of increasing costs for that consumer. For example, if a person has searched for baby thermometers on Google, then Amazon might charge that person more for children's cold medicine. Algorithmic pricing is a practice that the NDP provincial government in Manitoba has tried to curb as well. Lewis was also asked at the press conference about his views on Ottawa's proposed high-speed rail system that would be built between Quebec City and Toronto. Lewis said that he supported the project overall, but he opposed the public-private partnership that was being used to build it. In labor news this week, teachers' unions are calling for greater support from the federal government to address the rising number of incidents of violence in schools. A study by University of Ottawa professor Darcy Santor said that up to 80% of all teachers in Canada will likely experience some form of violence at the hands of their students this year. For leaders in the education field, the eroding of safety in schools can be attributed to underfunding of the education system, but also lacking supports for students during a time of increased instability and economic hardship. Sherry Ann Bowen-Gordon, Provincial Executive Officer of the Ontario Secondary School Teachers Federation, said, quote, "Educators are now expected to manage trauma. They're expected to manage mental health. They're expected to manage complex social challenges, along with everything else that we have to do." End quote. In health news, provincial health coalitions in Canada are calling for greater oversight and investigations into for-profit plasma clinics. These clinics provide financial compensation to individuals who give blood and plasma. However, organizations like the Ontario Health Coalition accuse for-profit clinics of exploitative practices and violations of health regulations. In Canada, men can donate blood every 8 weeks and women every 12. Canada Blood Services suggests plasma can be donated every 6 to 14 days, with a limit of 52 times per year. Yet, Health Canada authorizes private, for-profit companies like Grifols to collect plasma from one client up to 104 times per year. A man in Winnipeg is suing Grifols, alleging acute kidney damage caused by equipment failure when he went to donate plasma in 2023. The Ontario Health Coalition is calling on Canadian Blood Services to disclose the contracts that they have with these for-profit clinics and to ensure greater oversight. And finally, Hungarian far-right Prime Minister Viktor Orbán lost his re-election bid last week. Orbán had been one of the most visible far-right politicians in the world in recent years, but lost his election decisively. Alberta politics writer David Kleimenhage asks if this landslide loss for Orbán is a sign of things to come for other far-right politicians like Donald Trump in the U.S. or even Daniel Smith in Alberta. Kleimenhage says that perhaps we are already seeing far-right populists losing support in Canada at the federal level after Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre lost his own seat in the last federal election and has lost four of his MPs to floor crossings to the Carney Liberals in the months since. As always, you can read the full versions of all the stories we talked about today on Rabble.ca.
Thanks, Nick. And that's it for Rabble Radio this week. To help support our show, please visit rabble.ca/donate, subscribe to Rabble Radio on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube, and now join us over on Patreon for special bonus content. Thank you to all the journalists and writers who contributed to this week's content on rabble.ca. Thank you to Carl Nirenberg for supplying the music, and thank you to you for tuning in to Rabble Radio. I'm Brianne Doyle, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
listening to CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples.
Hi, I'm Andre Goulet. You're listening to Harbinger Showcase. Harbinger Showcase is a weekly podcast.